Blog Talk Radio. I don't know about the rest of you, but I love this time of the day. I love how the cool, crisp night air kisses the ground, leaving behind a gentle layer of dew. I love looking up into the night sky and seeing the moon shining down upon us like an old, trusted friend. I look forward to spending our Thursday nights here together on Blog Talk Radio as we travel together on this journey into the night.
Partner in crime, Lisa Vandeveer. Say hi, Lisa.
Hello, everyone. Glad you are with us tonight. And I'm telling you what, I am sitting in Mississippi freezing. It's cold. It is cold.
I've got my heater on. That's okay. I've got my heater on under my desk.
Well, I hope everybody else is staying warm.
It's so weird because last week I had the fan on because it was warm. This week I have to have, I have the heater running. This weather this year is going to give us all pneumonia. I tell you, it's crazy.
I know.
Absolutely.
It's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Oh, well, I want to let you know, Lisa, everybody's wanting to talk to our guest tonight because during the music, our phone lines started lighting up. So we've got some guests waiting to talk. So, guys, we'll get to you as soon as we can.
Oh, that's awesome.
I know.
Awesome.
First of all, we are so thrilled to have Randall Dark. He returned here to Deadly Reads Radio. Producer, director, cinematographer, playwright. Those are just a few of the hats worn by one of our favorite guests. Now, we here at Deadly Reads are always pleased to have Randall Dark join us on our show and tell us about all his exciting new projects. Randall is a driving force in the technical side of the film industry, as well as in movie making and playwright. So we look forward to chatting with him again. Okay, everybody, let's give Randall a nice, warm, Desi Reese welcome. Hey, Randall, are you there?
Hey, Randall.
Yes, and ladies, thank you so much for having me on your show again. I love talking to both of you and giving you an update on some of the fun things that I'm involved in.
Oh, well, we love talking to you. I tell you what, it's always a blast when you come on. Lisa and I learn a lot from you. We really do.
Sure do.
Well, thank you. Well, I've got a lot to talk about tonight, so what do you want to talk about first?
Well, why don't you tell us about this My Canada video?
Well, yes. An old friend of mine, Jeanette Arsenal, who I directed many, many years ago in a musical that I wrote, directed, and produced. She's a very, very talented lady, and we've been talking over the years about doing something together, and she's got this incredible song. And we're doing a crowdfunding to raise money so that we can do a music video of her song. You go to, it's called Canada 150. It's 150-year anniversary of Canada, and she's Canadian. And even though I've been living in the States for about 30 years, I was actually born in Canada. So it's like going back to my roots to do this project with Jeanette. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Oh, wow. Wow. So now what type of music does she sing? What genre?
But she sings a variety of different songs. She's, the best thing is, I would call her almost old school. It's songs that have great lyrics, great music. And I'm not saying that. Don't get me wrong. I love contemporary music. I love cutting edge music. Mm-hmm. Beastie Boys. I was a fan back then. And I shot a lot of stuff in the early years, but I call her more of a traditionalist. She has a very, very powerful voice, and I think this song is an important song, and I can't wait to work with her. And obviously, like most new world projects, we don't have to go the traditional route. She's got a GoFundMe page that people can become part of, and so that we raise money in the non-traditional ways. And because I have phenomenal relationships, JVC, Craig Yanagi is a great friend of mine, and he works for JVC, and he sent me a 4K camera. And the lenses, Ronicon lenses, they sent me a lens. And so I get to use cutting-edge technology. We're going to shoot it in 4K, maybe even 8K, for some of it. But with the JVC 4K camera, it creates incredible images. So we're already moving forward on raising funds and getting manufacturers involved, storage for when you shoot 4K, there's a lot of information. So I'll be, storing it on technology Lacy hard drives, and I'll be screening in my house. I have an editing system and project it through the BenQ projectors. And the other thing that's really cool is when you do projects with someone like her, we look at all the different options we have. So Jeanette is, I'm going to be in Canada and creating 4K footage that some of these stock shots will end up giving to Footage Bank and Paula Lombard, who reps the stock footage library. So every project I do, I look for alternative revenue streams. So you don't, it doesn't really have to go to a broadcaster anymore. And the other thing that's so exciting about this is that at the end of the day, we can also do digital downloads. People, how many times you get on a bus and everyone is staring at their phone? Well, they may be staring at the phone because they're watching our new music video that I'm shooting.
That's
with
awesome.
So,
yeah, that's very cool. Yeah. It's amazing what they can do, what you guys can do, and, technology is just absolutely phenomenal these days. So,
Well, in the old days, the playing field was so high. You know, cameras were unbelievably expensive. Editing systems were unbelievably expensive. And so it was an elite group of people that were able to create content. Now, I've seen incredible music videos shot on iPhones, for goodness sake. I've seen documentaries that have been shot on, you know, archaic equipment. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not telling everyone to use your iPhone. I love JVC and Craig, and getting a 4K camera to shoot this means the images are going to be spectacular. And the other thing is, I want to, whatever I do with Jeanette, I want to future-proof it. This this stands the test of time. A lot of incredible content goes away because the technology becomes obsolete. Like, how many black and white movies do we watch? None. Right. You know, so the one thing that's important to me and for people I work with, I want to make sure that 20, 30, 100 years from now, the technology that we shot on, the images are still good enough where people still want to see it. And that's where we are with, you know, these cameras. It's like when Angel Sing, when I did the movie Angel Sing with Fred Miller, it's the you know, with Harry Connick Jr. and Lyle Lovett and Willie Nelson played Santa Claus. And when I talked to, you know, Sharon Rankin and Scott Rankin about doing it with Fred and the team, we looked at what cameras to use, and we used two Red cameras to shoot for that particular project because, again, shooting at the high resolution, you want to protect whatever you do so future generations can watch it.
That is good. Well, let's bring on these callers, get them started. Maybe one of them is Jeanette, because I think you said she might be calling in tonight, didn't you?
Hopefully, yes.
Okay, well, caller, the line I'm picking up on is the one with the area code 512. So, hi, caller, you're live on the show. Who's this?
Hello?
Hi, who's this? Hello?
They've gone.
They're gone.
Yep, she hung up. Never mind. We'll try the next one. Okay, caller, area code 613. Hi, caller, you're live.
Hi, this
Who's this?
Jeanette.
Hi, Jeanette.
It's Jeanette.
Hey.
Sorry, I guess I was saying hello, hello, hello on the first call that you were talking to. I thought, how did you hang up? Oh, my gosh, this is so wonderful. Wonderful to talk to all of you and hear you. Randall, my God, you just keep surprising me with all the things that you do and that you know.
Yeah. Amazing.
You know, we're on a journey. Like, I feel I'm in kindergarten, and I want to get to grade one. I want to get to grade one, so I got to learn more.
That's how you stay young.
Yeah.
Ah. Well, I tell you what, every time Randall comes on, we learn so much. And I tell you what, we just kind of bow humbly, you know, to the master of the arts, because he just knows all that stuff.
Yeah. He certainly does.
It's like, I don't even know if he knows how much he knows that's swirling around in that brain until somebody says, ask just the right question, and boom, out tumbles another thing from your encyclopedic mind there, Randall.
Yeah. Well, you know what's scary is that a lot of times I forget what I've done, and then someone will mention something. I go, oh yeah, I shot that. Yeah, I was on the steps of the Vatican. Yeah, I shot the Pope. You know, oh yeah, I remember doing that. So I've been blessed my entire life. I've been able to travel the world, and I'm sincere when I say I've never worked a day in my life. I surround myself, and here's the secret, is you surround yourself with really talented people, and therefore they make you look good. So obviously, many years ago, I worked with Jeanette on a musical that I wrote, directed, and produced, and she was fantastic in it. And then I went, you know, I've watched her career, and I went, oh, here's an opportunity to work. She'll make me look good, so I want to work with her.
Hey,
she did the first time, she'll do it again.
Admiration. It's like a mutual admiration society, because I'm thinking, oh, my God, I get to work with Randall, who can do this super cool video that's just going to propel this song. This song, you know how in the States you have kind of a second national anthem? God Bless America? Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the kind of positioning for this song? And it's something I've been singing, you know, for a while. And I went to two Olympics, one in your country. I was at the Salt Lake City Olympics.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I sang it for our Canadian Olympic athletes in 2002.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. cool. Yeah.
And then off to Athens after that. But the song is, mm-hmm. it's other people that have been saying to me, my gosh, that's got to be the second national anthem. So this is our 150th year Canada is celebrating this year. I thought this is the time to do it.
150 years. Wow.
Happy
well,
birthday,
Canada.
Would
have told, yeah,
happy
if
birthday,
would have
Canada.
Told me, I could have, if Randall would have told me, I could have played it on the show tonight.
Hey, that would have been great. Well, we can come back maybe, and you can play the new version because we're doing a spiffy new version.
Okay.
So yeah, tell her about your ideas with the new version. I think it's really cool.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I've been singing the song, and it's not really a song for a solo artist. It's a song for choir. It's kind of one of those epic anthem songs. So mm-hmm. we're putting together a team of award-winning musicians and award-winning lead singer. I'm actually passing the baton to another singer who's well-known and won some Canadian Music Awards for this. Oh, I'm thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
My dream is to have other people singing the song. I want choirs. Mm-hmm. I want school children. There's a choir in Toronto, near Toronto, 100 young singers. They're called the Young Singers of Canada. And they're going to be singing the song on February the 4th with their own arrangements and harmonies and everything. So they've invited me to come in and hear it. That thrills me. It's like if you have children, you give birth, mm-hmm. and then they grow and you marvel at, you know, where life takes them. That's how I mm-hmm. feel about this song.
That's
oh,
wonderful.
Wow.
I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
I love
well,
music
I'll
sing
send it
by choir.
If you want the, yeah. Well, I can send you a link, actually, to that particular choir. It's an amateur video, but they sang it at their Christmas concert a few years ago, and they've mm-hmm. now spiffied it up, too, and they've added new harmonies and stuff. But if you're interested, sure, I could send you that.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, yes.
Yeah.
To hear it.
Thank you.
Yeah, would you mind, because after the show, I'll be making a video, a YouTube video of this show to put on our YouTube channel. Would you mind if
yep.
I added that link?
Absolutely not. All I need is your email
okay.
address. Yep. I'll
and
send
also send a bunch of those cool
yep.
pictures, too.
Oh,
yeah.
My
definitely.
Fun pictures.
Yeah.
My quirky ones? Okay. I just
yeah,
need I'll send them to you, Randall. How about if I send them to you and you forward them?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, when people listen to this, they'd rather look at pictures than of you than me any day. Trust me.
It'll be a combo. No. Wait a minute now. May I say, when you have Randall hanging out of a helicopter taking a shot or shooting a bear from 2 feet away, I think that's pretty
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
that is pretty cool.
That's called dumb. And listeners, especially students that are listening, do
yes.
not do what I do.
Do not.
It's like... And unfortunately, there's a lot of photographic evidence where this is a quick story. There's a Marquee magazine. I was the cover of a Marquee magazine, and there's a picture of me shooting a kayaker going over a waterfall that was on the cover. It's a beautiful shot. And what people don't see is that I'm on the edge of a cliff, and Kristen Cox, who's my producer, who's actually... I'm a smart man. I married her. She's also my wife. So
she's
so
beautiful.
Five. Yeah, she's
she is
got that gorgeous.
She
anyway,
is so
yeah.
And she's smart. And so I'm on the edge of a cliff shooting this image, and she's tied a rope around my waist, and she's hanging onto a rock so I don't fall off the cliff. And I'm going,
oh, God.
I'm going, what are you doing? And she goes, look where you are. And I'm going,
yeah.
Oh, okay, thanks. Because it's like the bear shot.
Now, isn't that truly you got my back?
It, bingo. Well, hey, well played.
Yeah.
It's so true. but I get so, I become part of the what's happening. I become part of the music video. I become part of the documentary. And the camera becomes part of me. My surroundings almost become irrelevant because I'm there for the moment of what I'm trying to do. And thank goodness I have people around me that go, he's going to die. We better just tie him off.
Yeah, I was going to say, you sound a little bit dangerous to me, so you better be glad you've got a wife that's watching your back.
Yeah, and not just her, it's the people that I work with, you know, and I work like people like Craig and Fred Miller and the Rankins. I surround myself with people that are smarter and more talented than I am, obviously why I'm working with Jeanette, and so they all make me look good, let's be honest.
You're very
I would
humble.
Say the same
You're
about
very
you,
humble.
My friend. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I honestly have to say the one time where I think you really got very lucky was when you did get the pictures of the Pope, because I still giggle about that story.
I do, too. That's one of my favorite stories. That is one of my favorite stories.
I don't
know.
One. You'll have to tell me sometime.
Yeah, but the shot is the amount of time I spent getting yelled at in Italian for hours, it was worth it. Trust me. The shot is spectacular.
Right.
By the guards, the Swiss guards who are pretty
stern-looking people sometimes. Oh, the Swiss guards grabbed me and yanked me, but they were nice to me. They just dragged me into the back part of the Vatican where they put me in a room where I had, thank goodness they yelled at me in Italian because I had no idea what they were saying, but they were pretty upset.
But they looked at
the shot. The shot is spectacular. It was worth it. But don't do it. Hey, if students that are listening to this, don't do it. Please don't do it because it.
Yep.
I'm not allowed back in the Vatican.
Ever?
Oh, goodness.
Oh, well, you know, that's one of those bucket list memories you'll always have. We all have one bucket list memory that we shake our head and we think back, how did I survive? How was I so stupid? But, man, that was really cool.
Yeah, sadly, I have 35 of those.
Oh, no.
You know, you need to write a book about your life and what you do and what you've been doing, what you've done, and your people would find that very interesting.
I agree.
They think it was fiction, so I'd have to put it in the science fiction categories in the bookshelf.
You could call your book "You Can't Make This Stuff Up."
Yeah, no kidding.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I have learned that truth is stranger than fiction because my husband he loves watching the ID channel. That's his, you know, fix it. He loves the ID channel. And we'll be watching one of those shows and some of the stuff people do, and I go, you know, I write dark thrillers. I write about sick, twisted people. Even I couldn't think of that stuff.
What's that expression? Truth is stranger than fiction?
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just tell me, like, this is what not to do.
Right.
That would be chapter one. Don't do as I do.
Right.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask her when the new edition is going to be out, when the new edition of her song is going to be out.
We're hoping, we're looking to recording it in March and then have it out in time for, hopefully for May, because our Canada Day is July 1st. So that would give us a bit of a lead up time. And we're also, Randall and I are also working with, for me, it's a music industry consultant, he calls himself, but he wears many hats, including producer and artist talent management, et cetera, et cetera. So Don has already been in touch with some companies in Ottawa, our capital, who are going to be doing some big, some big Canada 150, they're calling it, Canada 150 celebrations. So he's already in talks with various people about getting the song and the video. I mean, there'll be many ways to present it, either with the award-winning singer doing live shows or the video itself being played at conferences. Randall, I haven't talked to you about this yet, But I'm thinking, you know, the Epcot Center in Florida, the Canadian.
Yeah, I've been there.
Wing there,
I've shot there.
It should play there, you know. So we have all sorts of things lined up for the video and live performances of the song.
Ooh, wow, that's awesome. But you know, I'd like to personally hear the original version as well.
Sure. I'll send you that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll send you a link to that of me singing it. I'll send you a link
of
the kids singing it, if you like, and you can decide whatever you'd like to post.
Okay.
That would be very cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Whatever.
Now, how long is it going to take to do the video itself once you guys get the funding and everything organized? How long will it take to actually
shoot
the video?
That's up to Randall. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Randall.
I work really quickly, but again, I have an idea, and then once I start working, the idea grows. And what's good about how I work is once we get funding in place, I'm a writer, director, producer, cinematographer. So when I show up, we can do things what we plan, and then organically things change, and we get inspired.
Right.
And I'm not going to mention a director's name by name, but I'm not a dictator when I work with talent. They're called talent for a reason. So, you know, one of the reasons why a lot of my documentaries have been successful is that it's a two-way street. I say this when I'm working with even my production assistant or my cameraman or anybody. I'm going, if you have an idea, don't stop what we're doing, but anybody at any level can come and whisper in my ear saying, hey, Randall, have you thought about this? And I go, I didn't. That's a brilliant idea. And I will change what I'm doing and do what they do, or I'll hear something and I'll go, no, that doesn't really work. But anyone has the right to give me an idea. And a lot of times I take the idea because at the end of the day, it still says directed by Randall Dark. And
but
I think it's an organic process. I'm not always 100% right. I'm 90%
yeah,
but
I like your outlook on that. I really do.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
You also
yeah.
get each person's soul or creativity, and you feel part of a team as opposed
exactly.
to an employee. So that
exactly.
I love that, Randall. I love that aspect.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. No,
yeah,
and
it's
a team. And again, I say this in jest, but I'm serious. My ego is so big, it's tiny. So the on a set, the production assistant, who's running around and getting the singer coffee or the crew lunch, they're just as important in my eyes as I am. Because if the PA doesn't run and get lunch and feed the crew, my crew is going to hate me. So I don't want them to hate me. So I love my production assistant. So it's just I'm serious about this.
Yes.
And unfortunately, there's a hierarchy at times, and you know I'm the director. Well, so what? You know, there's the talent. Thank goodness she's
but
here.
But I bet your photo shoots are fun to work on, and people want to work with you. So in the end, you get the best
the
best because they'll say, yeah, really, I want to work with Randall, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
The go-to guy.
I've been blessed.
Yeah.
Well,
I've been blessed to work with some really nice
attitude.
People.
That's the best attitude to have in life anyway, because if you go around acting like you're the boss, you know, and you're above everybody, people will shy away from you after a while,
mm-hmm.
you know. They'll put up with it for a little while, but eventually they'll say, oh, no, I don't need that drama, you know. And so that's a good way to be. That's a good way to be.
And they don't give you their best. How can you give your best if you're being yelled at or being diminished or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
go through the motions, you're professional, but I prefer people to give a piece of their soul or give a piece of, you know, what's deeply inside of them. You can feel that in a project. I know I'm sounding artsy-fartsy here, but you can feel that. When I sing, I know a lot of technical stuff, how to sing, but when I'm feeling what I'm singing, people feel it too. I don't know how to explain that either.
Right.
It's unscientific, but it's true.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, it sounds like you guys are going to have a lot of fun doing this project.
Yeah, and I so appreciate you taking some time to talk about this. I'll let you go so you can get on to all the million other things Randall has for you.
Well, it was nice meeting you.
Nice
yeah,
to
was.
Meet you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Randall. We'll talk soon. I'll send you some links, and you can do whatever you need to do with them, okay?
Perfect. Thank
Pass
you.
Pass them on. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll listen to
the
right, okay, bye. Okay,
bye.
Isn't she a sweetheart?
She's a sweetheart. Yes, she is. She truly
yeah.
is.
She's a nice lady. Heart's in the
mm-hmm.
right place.
Can't wait to hear her music. I bet it's beautiful.
Yeah, you'll love it. Yeah, she's talented.
Okay, well, let's see here. You're doing a high school documentary, you've mentioned.
Yeah, here's the idea. I went to a high school called Brookfield High School, and I think this is going to be a blueprint for every high school out there. And so what we're trying to do is raise funds, because out of my high school, there are some very famous grads over the years. You know, Mike McDonald is one of Canada's top comic actors. He's amazing, and he's very famous in Canada. Johnny Vegas is a great singer. Sue Holloway is an Olympic athlete that won medals at the Olympics, winter and summer. So I look at my high school. Recently, I went, all of these people, and I graduated many, many years ago, but so looking back over the last X number of years, I'm going, this high school produced a lot of really, really cool people that have impacted medicine, sports, culture, just so many things. Wouldn't it be interesting to do a documentary about my high school highlighting the diversity? And every, mm-hmm. you know, if you think of the high school you went to and your listeners, think of your high school and Google search some students, and you're going, so many have done amazing things that we don't know about collectively. So mm-hmm. one of the projects I'm working on is figuring out a way to fund a documentary about the famous people that graduated out of my high school. I just think
that's
a fun thing. Yeah.
Mhm. It does sound fun.
Yes. But you know, when you think about it, you always wonder. Mhm.
Yes, and it just took me a little bit. Like one of the graduating students worked on the Remy and Stinky show, and I'm going, what? You know, and so over the next little while, just for your own sake, and listeners, do this yourself. Go, I went to Wikipedia and typed in Brookfield High School and saw how many famous, in Wikipedia, they don't put you in there unless you're somebody, and
right.
how many famous people graduated out of Brookfield High School, and I was going, oh, I want to do a documentary about that. So it's an idea, and I'm not a protectionist. So other filmmakers out there, look at your high school, see how many famous people graduated over the last 30 years, and do a documentary about your high school and these famous people. I think it's really cool. And what's neat about it is that there's two, you know, I'm a businessman. It's all about money. Will Discovery air it? No. I say no, like I don't know, but let's say they won't, or National Geo, they're not going to, it's about a high school. National Geo is not going to broadcast it. So mm-hmm. you don't have to look for a broadcaster. What's really cool about this idea is that, you can do a GoFundMe, get, the high school people to help fund it. And then once you finish the project, blast it out to all the high school people for the last 25, 30 years and go, hey, here's a digital download for $2.50. Do you want to see an hour documentary about your school and all the famous people? I think there's a mm-hmm. business model there. So I want the world to start doing that, because, we need to share what we've done, not when we say we. Like, I think Mike McDonald and Johnny Vegas are really cool guys that have done really well with their careers, and other students don't know. So this is a way to shine a spotlight on them and your school, mm-hmm. because I'll be honest, I'm partially the way I am because, I was expelled a number of times out of my high school. I know you guys are surprised. I was not a really good student. I failed a lot of classes because I couldn't focus. High school bored me. And if it wasn't for some amazing friends that I went to school with, and some amazing teachers, I would never have been able to graduate. So this is my way of thanking them by telling their story. And I think other directors and producers around the country should look at their high school and maybe consider telling their story, because I think it's compelling. And again, it doesn't have to be picked up by a broadcaster, because how many students in the last 20 years went to Brookfield High School? Well, so you create an hour documentary, and you can market it through, you know, social networking, and do, you know, $1.99 or $2.99 digital downloads, and recoup your money, what you spent on it, if you don't make enough through crowdfunding. So I think there's alternative business models for, I'm saying, you know, this documentary about my high school, but it can be a documentary about anything. So I'm encouraging young filmmakers to look at alternative fundraising methods like GoFundMe, et cetera, but also digital downloads, because not everybody's going to get a broadcaster. So that it shouldn't stifle your creative talent. I want to encourage people to go do it, because there's other ways to derive revenue, to make money, and show a profit. So anyway, that's my thing about the high school.
Well, I just Googled my high school when you was talking, and it says notable alumni from the high school I went to, Woodland High School in Northern California, just north of Sacramento. We had the notable alumni. We have an Olympic shot put competitor, Olympic boxer, professional boxer under Golden Boy Promotions, a Boston Red Sox All-Star, professional football player, and the last one, just kind of made me giggle, website creator, hacker, and convicted felon.
Nice. I love that.
Nice.
I want to interview him or her.
Yeah.
It's a guy. Yeah, you want me to send you over the link later, Randall?
Yeah, that's fascinating. I think that's great.
That's crazy.
But yeah, I didn't realize Woodland, you know, it's pretty good sized town and stuff. But yeah, that's funny. I'm going to Google mine while you're talking. I'll be dang. Anyway, okay, so that's what you're doing on your documentary then. That's an interesting idea.
Yeah. And alternative funding and digital downloads. I think that what I love about technology, don't be afraid of it, embrace it, because there's alternative revenue streams and even product placement. You know, you can, you know, if I'm going to shoot in Ottawa at my high school, what businesses do ex-students own that you know, I'll go, I can interview you, an ex-student, at your business. It's product placement. So there are new ways that you can, I don't want to say cheat the system, because that sounds unfair, but not everything can air on nationally on broadcast television, but we have alternatives right now, and that's creative. We're called creative people, not creative just for, you know, sculptures. Like my brother Shane Dark, if you look at his sculptures, the guy's a genius.
No, they're amazing.
You know, his new sculpture that punches through that building, it's like downtown Toronto. We're all talented. Shane's talented as a sculpture artist. I'm talented telling stories. Other people are really talented raising money. So, you know, find people that you want to work with that are talented, and you don't have to go the traditional broadcast method because of, you know, one degree of separation. You know, I know the next documentary I do, because I'm connected through LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, blah, 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 to, you know, 50,000 people. So is there ways to create content and derive revenue? Absolutely. Be adventurous. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It makes it great, too, because for so many years, extremely talented people were kept from being able to have their art out there, you know, because they weren't picked up by the handful of those in charge. You know, it's like last night I was speaking to a first-time author. He's wanting us to help with his book, getting it ready and everything. And, of course, he was asking all those questions. Well, do I have to worry about going up against the big, you know, big publishers, or, you know, really scared about even just trying to put his book out? And I said, no, just write your book. Write your book.
Yeah. Well,
it'll help you get it put together and put it out there. There's so many avenues now. You're not you're not hamstrung anymore.
Yep.
Well, it's just like,
absolutely.
I mean, it's just like Lynn and I, you know, I believe that both of us, and other authors out there have wonderful stories that could be turned into great movies, you know.
Yep.
But our expertise is not in movie making. Our expertise is in book writing, story writing.
Yep.
So that's how I've wondered is how you connect, how, you know, how you connect with those types of people that can help you do that. So,
well, part of it is if they don't know about you, you don't exist. And, you know, I've increased
right,
my
exactly.
LinkedIn reach. I've, you know, my Twitter, my Instagram, my Facebook, because some people like Facebook and they hate Twitter. Some people love Twitter and they hate Facebook. So what I've done is I spend X number of hours a week increasing my reach, because when I do this music video with Jeanette, I want as many people as possible to see it. And I know if I send it out on LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter, I know it's going to reach all these people.
Right.
I constantly increase my reach because we have the technology to do that, and we don't have to rely on the old method of getting things out, because only a select few get seen or get heard, because there's only so many channels and so many hours on television and radio. So embrace new technology, and that's what I do. I you know, my whole career is what's the next cool thing? That's what I'm going to do.
Right.
Well, it amazes me how much more that can be done in your line, you know, the filming part of it. I mean, how far it's come, you know, with special effects. We've talked with that, you know, talked with you about that before. And it's just amazing, you know, you see a movie, you know, that was made a long time ago, and then, like, now they do a remake, you know, and just the visual of it is so much more. You know, because of technology, has come such a long way. It's just, I can't imagine what it's going to be like in 20 years. You know?
Oh, yeah. You know, I was fortunate enough to go to, you know, the ranch, Lucasfilm, and many, many years ago and see it, see, you know, Star Wars. And then recently I got to go back, and just the advancement in technology, what they're able to do and how they're able to do it is just mind-boggling. And you don't, you know, Lucasfilm is spectacular, and they have toys that are just outrageous. But sitting in front of me is a 4K camera that JVC sent me. You know what I mean? And and it's at a price point that anyone can afford it. So you don't have to be George Lucas, or, you know, or any, you know, Steven Spielberg to be able to create amazing visuals. You can do it because the tools are at our, I call, every man's disposal. You don't need millions of dollars invested in technology to tell the stories you need to tell. And a lot of times, brilliant, compelling stories are told without the high-end technology. You know, I've seen little documentaries shot on iPhones, and it didn't bother me. It was shot on an iPhone because the story was so compelling. The story is more important than, even though this is weird, I'm a technologist, but the story is more important than the technology. And you can quote me.
I do have a question for you, though. Visual reality goggles that are getting to be quite popular, do you ever see those being something that you would go to a movie theater and watch movies that way, or what do you think?
Yeah, well, here's, oh boy, it's a can of worms. Okay,
well,
the quick answer.
I do have the VR.
The quick answer to that is, it's, you know, 3D went away in the house, because when you're in, when you know, watching television is a communal experience. People don't like wearing glasses to watch television. So that never took off. Certain animated movies are spectacular in 3D, and so and our hunter-killer brain doesn't fight animation because it's fantasy to begin with. If I did a love story, just a traditional love story in 3D, we don't see the world that way, so our brain fights it the whole way, and it's not how we see the world, so you get fatigued, and it doesn't work. You'd rather see it in regular movie theater than a 3D movie theater. Animation, you don't mind, because you don't see the world. The world is an animated cartoon, so your brain doesn't fight it. So VR is much the same way. It's a singular experience, I think for certain things, I'm not going to go to a movie theater and put a headset on that's been worn by 30 people over the last, you know, 2 days. It's never going to happen.
Right.
And most people hate that.
That's true.
You know, so it's just not going to happen. And so, now, is there a business model for VR where, you know, you put something on at your house and you look at things? Yeah, but I think that's in the gaming world. It's not going to be feature films. People have said, you know, you can go to a store and you put the glasses on and you can see, you know, things pop up on sale. That's not going to happen. Not because it's not – I love the idea. I think it's a brilliant idea, but I'm not going to put on a headset that someone wore 5 minutes ago, even though they wiped it down with, sterilizers. It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
So I think the boom that people thought was going to happen is not going to happen. I hate to say
I do have the VR sets at home for my daughter and for me. And, I mean, they're okay. They're fun. But what we watch the most is like the, you know, the space.
The space stuff is spectacular.
The space stuff and under the ocean, you know, the ocean type stuff. And that's the only thing that we found that we liked. So
I'm sure, you know, going in, you know, elephants in Africa, there's certain things, but it's what I call a one trick pony. You do it a couple of times, you go, okay, I'm done. I've seen elephants.
Exactly.
I've seen flamingos. I don't need to see anything else. And so I think that that technology is very, very, very limited.
Exactly. I agree.
When you were talking about how the brain processes, is that why when we I'm going to tell you my age right now, but when I got my first HD television, I didn't like it set real sharp. It bothered me to watch the picture. Was that my brain fighting it? Is that what you're meaning?
Yeah. And a lot of people, what you're saying was very common. A lot of times, especially the first HD images were over enhanced, and I was going, let's make it brighter and sharper and clearer, and it became super real, and people didn't like that. So when you know, like movies that are transferred at a different frame rate, it has that poetic feel, the distance feel. So when you watch a movie, it's like seeing it in a movie theater. It doesn't look like a video. Now, when I do a documentary about an endangered species of animals, I want it to be like they're in your living room because I want you to see what it's like to be in Africa looking at this endangered species. But it doesn't have the... I think what you're talking about, we used to put edge enhancement and we'd pop it too much. We don't do that nearly. I'm saying collectively. I can only speak for myself. I don't do as much of that as I used to do. So when you look at my documentaries on Europe that I did, the Vatican looks great. You know, the canals of Venice look like you're there, but they don't look over enhanced. And I think that was the problem back then. But that's been fixed.
Okay, I wonder if that had anything to do with it, because I know my husband and I looked at each other and I said, I can't look at the TV. It's making my eyes hurt. And so we fogged it up or smudged it up or whatever you call it. Down, you know?
and the other thing too is that it was such a difference. It took a while for people to get used to the difference because NTSC, never the same color twice, was you know, low resolution, or as I said before, no resolution. And you know, 5.25, 4x3 wasn't compelling. You didn't get sucked into the image, though good storytellers could make you do that. But that was the brilliance of the writer, director, producer, and the actors, that even on a 4x3 low-definition TV, you still got sucked into the story, and you got excited, and you went along the adventure. But now I think the willing cathartic of disbelief is even deeper, and your cathartic response is even more because of the technology, if that makes sense.
I'll tell you, it's way over my head. It's just amazing to me that you know all this stuff.
Mine too.
I mean, it's just...
That is not.
You've
been humble.
I mean, you guys, I hope you know we're down only 10 minutes of the show. I just want to let you guys know.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What do you want to talk about next?
Okay. Do we have time to talk about Sasquatch this time, or
sure,
Sasquatch, or
yeah,
another one? Okay.
Yeah. The thing with Tell Us Sasquatch is the play that I wrote, directed, and produced as a children's play that toured Canada. And then my friends, Hal Waite and the group, made it into an app. But what I love and hate about apps, you know, kids spend so much time on the phone, on their phone or their iPad or their computer, mostly their phone, that I didn't want it just to be an app where it's a cute story about the Tell Us Sasquatch. But if they went deeper into the app, to me, education is so important. So if you get the kids hooked on technology, if they're going to be anyway, at least have an educational element to it. So one of the things I love about Tell Us Sasquatch, and parents should like about it, is that I created a dictionary. So that it's not a dictionary. Kids hate dictionaries. We hate, you know, even adults, I have to look up that word. Oh, I hate opening a dictionary. But my dictionary is funny. So it's not like a traditional type of dictionary. So it's educational, but when the kid looks up something that they're going, oh, what does that word mean? And they go into my dictionary in the app, it's a funny way to tell what the word means. So I just wanted to create that. And then a lot of kids like to play act. And so to make it even sillier and give it another option, I also created what I call Rupert's 10 Words of Acting Wisdom. And basically it's 10 things, because all kids want to play, they want to act, they want to do silly things. So it teaches them how to act. It has an educational element in a playful way, and it's not just an app where the parents go, go in the corner for an hour and a half and let your mind wander. I want to make sure that they also, there's a reason to buy the app besides just a fun story and the creative people that did the animation and the drawings, I think, did a beautiful job, but I wanted it more than just a simple app. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I like that. As a parent, I like that, yes.
Yeah, because
if your child's going to be doing something, they might as well be learning in the process and not even realize they're learning, A lot of times if they think it's studying, they'll fight you on it, but the way you're presenting it to them, they won't even know that they're actually learning. So,
And Tell Us Sasquatch, everyone wants to know how Tell Us Sasquatch happened. You know, what's the story behind it? And I'll let them know. I tell everyone how Sasquatch came to be. Now, I'll give a hint. There's a wicked witch and a fairy godmother. That's all I'm saying. They got in a fight. That's all I'm saying.
I'm going to have to look that up. I think my daughter would enjoy that.
Well, I put enough adult humor. It's because I think parents, and I'm not lecturing parents, but parents should watch something before the kid does. So I knew parents were going to buy Tell Us Sasquatch for their children, and they were going to watch it. So there's some hidden jokes, adult jokes, in Tell Us Sasquatch, so it's a payoff. So when a parent watches it, they go, okay, it's for kids, yeah. Oh, that's really funny. Oh, it's adult humor. It's at a different level. So I'm trying to layer my humor so it's not all adolescent humor. There's some mature humor without it being risque or, what I mean? It just adds to it.
Please don't tell me they were fighting over a man, and the man ended up being Sasquatch.
I'm not going to tell you. You got to go watch it.
Yeah, we got to go get it.
And there's the other thing too. There's puzzles. There's complex puzzles and simple puzzles. Depending on your puzzle skill. And there's a coloring book. So you can also you may not like my colors. So you can actually color your own cells. We call them cells. The images from the play, from the So it just has different options, because at the end of the day,
I gotta check that out.
I respect people work really hard for their for their money, and if they're gonna be kind enough to buy something that I've created, I want them at the end of the day go, not say, well, that was worth $3 or $2. they go, you know, I would have paid $10. There's so much here, and it only cost me X, you know, much less. You want to give more than what people. And that's been my philosophy from day one as a director in theater, is that when people come to my plays or my documentaries, at the end of the day, I want them to walk away going, wow, that was worth my time, because their time is precious, and I respect that. And I'm honored that they spend their time looking at anything I've done. So my way of thanking them is make sure I do the best I possibly can and give them bonus stuff.
That's good.
Well, that's a good way to think about it, too, you know. And plus, too, if the parents love it and the kids love it, they'll be waiting for your next one to come out.
Well, the next one I'm writing right now, it's, you know, it's called The Easter Frog, The Brains Behind the Bunny. And basically, I tell the story, you know, I don't want to give it away right now. It's a cute story. It's basically... All right, just because it's between us three, right? No one else will know. So basically the story is, at the beginning, frogs used to deliver eggs, but no one would take them because frogs got warts and they're ugly. So these frogs made bunny outfits. And so when you see a frog, a bunny bouncing, delivering Easter eggs, it's really a frog wearing a bunny outfit.
Oh,
that's the story of the Easter Bunny.
That's the secret. I see.
Well, because so many of us have, we look at ourselves and we go, I'm not good enough or I'm not smart enough. And if we could hide behind something, you know, we could do really cool things. And so I'm trying to tell the story going, you know, here's when you see someone look deeper than the surface, just because a bunny is cute and cuddly, what's inside the bunny? It's an ugly frog. Well, go hug the ugly frog.
Right. True.
Because I was the ugly frog when I was like 8 years old. Come on now.
Oh, we saw pictures of you younger. You were a cutie.
Nah.
Yeah. We saw those pictures you shared.
Yes, you were.
That's debatable.
Well, guys, we're going to be shut down here in a couple of minutes. So, Randall, we had a blast as always. You are so much fun.
Oh, thank you. I love talking to you guys.
Can't wait to have you join us again.
That's right.
Everybody get on there. Now, if they go to your website, can they find your app for Sasquatch on there?
If you go on Facebook or any of social networking, it's Tele Sasquatch. Okay. They can just go. If you Google search Tele Sasquatch, it'll take you. Tele Sasquatch app, it'll take you there. Yeah, there's, because the technology is so cool, it's really easy to find stuff if you want to. And if you don't want to, then, you know.
I'm Googling it now and it's come up. So it comes up.
See?
When you Google it, it comes up. So.
Great.
Okay,
I'm getting it. I'm going to get it for my daughter.
and then send me an email and let me know what she thinks, because that's important to me.
Okay.
I got a granddaughter whose birthday is coming up here in a couple of months. I'll get it for her because she's always on her phone.
See, there you go. There you go.
It's worth talking to you guys. I've got two sales. Yay.
There you go. See?
Okay,
thank
Randall.
You so much.
We'll talk to you
I
next
really
time.
Do appreciate you guys. Thank you so
much.
I
appreciate
you. Too.
You have a good evening.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I always love having him on. He's just so much fun.
Oh, he is. Yeah.
Well, girl,
he's always
another show.
Another round.
Well, folks, we'll call it a night. We'll see you next Thursday night. Same time, same place. Talk to you then.
Yep.
Good night.
Good night.